Good evening. It's good to be able to come together to worship God this evening. And as we have just read, James says that we need to be hearers and doers of the Word. And James says that if we are a hearer and not a doer, we're simply deceiving ourselves. A good example of that this evening that I'd like to study in the Old Testament is the story of Saul and the Amalekites. If you'll turn with me this evening to 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want to look at the statement there where Samuel comes to Saul and says, "It is better to obey." As we turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and we think about that statement, we need to understand that there are many people in the world today, maybe kind-hearted and good-hearted folks. Some of them may be religious, but they will simply substitute something else instead of obeying what God says. They mean well. They may even believe in God and be religious in a number of ways, but they just simply want to substitute something other than just simply obeying God. And I want to use the story this evening of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and encourage us to understand the point that it's better to obey. We may have something in our mind that we want to substitute. It's better to obey. We may be feeling in our heart and in our life that we're doing fine with God. It's better to obey. And so we simply need to understand the importance of obedience in all things in our life. Even though we feel like we're substituting something that maybe is for the well-being of others or maybe our own good, it's better to obey. And so this evening, you may need to obey in some way. You may need to obey the gospel. You may need to come to Christ. You may need to make some change in your life. It's better to obey than substitute something else for that. There are many religious people today, like Saul, who believe in God, but they would just simply rather do what they want instead of obeying God. And they're not intending to hurt anybody. They're not intending to be a problem in any way. They just simply want to do what they want. They want to substitute something that they want instead of obedience to God. And the lesson this evening is, it is better to obey. And what we're going to do this evening is look at the life of Saul, the first king of Israel. And he's told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. That goes back to Exodus chapter 17 when the Amalekites attack Israel when they're on their way to Canaan land. And God tells them in Exodus 17 that their name would be blotted out. And so it goes back to that portion of Scripture. But in 1 Samuel 15, Saul is told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. That was the obedience that he was to engage in. He ends up doing something else, as we're going to see this evening. He ends up disobeying God, and Samuel comes to him and says, "Saul, it's better to obey." And so I want us to think about those matters this evening, and I want us to explore the question then, why is it better to obey? Let's examine that matter. Why is it better to obey, and in what areas of our life is it better simply to obey God? Sometimes we wonder maybe the problems that are going on in our lives. Sometimes problems are brought in our lives simply because we're not obeying God. Or we find that there's sin in our life because we're not obeying God. Why is it better to obey? And how can that be accomplished in our life? Well, I want to turn first of all to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. And I want us to notice, first of all, this evening, that it's better to obey. And obedience is better than just simply hearing God. Somebody says, "Well, from week to week, I hear God's Word. I read my Bible. I hear God's Word. And so, that'll be enough." No, obedience is better than hearing. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 through 3. "And Samuel said unto Saul, 'Jehovah sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel." This is back in Exodus 17. "How he set himself against him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, and ox and sheep, and camel and ass." Did Samuel hear that? Did he hear that? Absolutely. Did he understand that? Absolutely. Did he hear those words? Did he understand those words? So that alone is okay. No, you've got to go out and obey. And so we understand that many today will sit and listen to God's words. And this lesson this evening is not just simply for someone who needs to obey the gospel. All of us can benefit. We might hear God's word from day to day or week to week. Do we act upon it? Do we obey it? Do we put it into practice in the areas of our life? Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 that in the parable of the sower, there are those who hear the word of God, but then the devil comes and takes it away. Hearing only is not enough. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. I appreciate compliments. I appreciate somebody saying, I enjoyed the lesson and that type of thing. But I would rather see obedience than hear a compliment. And there's certainly nothing wrong with complimenting the speaker, but I would rather in my life and in your life we go out and practice the sermon rather than just simply saying good sermon preacher and not practicing it. And we find that very thing in Ezekiel chapter 33. There were those who were coming to Ezekiel and they were basically saying, in effect, good sermon preacher, but they weren't going out and obeying it. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. And as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls, talking about the preacher, and in the doors of the house, and they speak one to another, everyone his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Jehovah. Let's go down there and hear it. Well, that alone is not good enough. We've got to go and do it. Let's go hear the word of God. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as the people, and they hear thy words, but do them not. Saul heard what God said, but he didn't go out and do it. It's better to obey. You see, what we want to do is we want to substitute something else. Well, hearing will be enough. And we'll look at some other things this evening. No, we just simply need to obey. Let's come and hear the words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on the instrument. Boy, you sound great. Good sermon, preacher. You have beautiful words and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but do them not. It's better to obey. Again, I appreciate a compliment. And I know the ones that are given here are genuine. But many people will just simply hear God's word and not do it. So we must hear and obey. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and 24 that the parable of the wise man that built his house upon the rocks, that he that hears these words of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man. So if we're sitting from week to week saying, well, as long as I hear God's word, that's enough. It's not. It's better to hear and obey. There are some things that are better, and that's simply the point of the lesson. And whatever we substitute is not what God wants. We're thinking, well, what I substitute is what God wants. No, it's better to obey. And we just simply need to go out and do that. And then, of course, the scripture reading in James, that we need to be hearers and doers of the word. It's better to obey than faith only. When you turn back with me to 1 Samuel 15, you find that Saul believed in God. And Saul believed that the words that were spoken to him were the inspired words of God. There was no argument there. There was no question there. He had faith in God. This is the first king of Israel. He has faith in God. He loves God. And there are many people out there that love God and they believe God exists. If you were to ask them, does God exist? I believe God exists. I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. But then they go no farther than that. A lot of religion today is faith-only religion. And James says that a person can hear and even have faith, but if that faith is not coupled with obedience, then it is the improper kind of faith. Let's keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 4. And Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, as thou goest to Shur, that is before Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. He wasn't supposed to do that. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. They weren't supposed to do that. and of the oxen and the fatling of the land and all the good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Did he believe in God? Yes, he believed in God. He believed there was a God. He believed what was said to him was God's word, but he did not fully obey that. In James chapter 2, James says that even the demons believe. Faith and belief alone is not what God wants. So I believe what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says about baptism. I believe what the Bible says about worshiping God. I believe those things. Well, are you going to go act upon it or just simply believe in it as a mental thought? We've got to act upon that. We've got to follow through. We must have a faith that obeys. And so Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, the obedience of faith. And he says, well, I believe. Well, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. To be any different from the demons, we're going to have to move beyond that and begin to obey and act upon the Word of God. Paul talks about in Galatians 5 and verse 6, faith working through love. It's not enough just to believe some concept. We need to act upon that. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Saul believed that there was a God. And when Samuel came to him, he believed those words came from God. He had faith. But it was not a faith that was wrought with works. It was not a faith that was obedient. It was partially obedient. We're going to talk about that later. But it did not do what God told him to do. And so we have to have an obedient faith. There are some things that are better. And we can't substitute something thinking, well, God will be fine with that. Just simply do what God wants us to do. In James chapter 2, we learn that faith must complete itself. It must be complete or perfect in the sense of completing itself in obedience. Verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. You believe that God is one? I think everybody here believes that God is one. You do well. That's great. The demons also believe and shudder. His point is, what are you going to do beyond anything that they do? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren, empty. And he goes on to talk about how, in verse 26, that faith apart from works is dead. If you say something like, well, I believe that the Bible says that, then show that. Act upon that. Obey that this evening. There are some things that are better. It is better to obey, Samuel says. It's better to obey than just simply to know. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's keep reading in verse 10. Did Samuel know what God said? Could Samuel repeat the information that God had given? Absolutely. And you can talk to folks today and they can tell you what's in the Bible, and there are people that know things in God's Word, and you talk with them, they'll say, well, I know that the Bible says to do this, and I know that the Bible says to do that. Well, fine, but what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that information? Is it just a matter of rehearsing information? Is it just a matter of being able to turn somewhere in the Bible? Saul could tell you what God said. He knew that. Look at verse 10. Then came the word of Jehovah unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. That's a reference earlier where he spared the king and he spared some of the livestock. He hasn't done what I told him to do, and hath not performed my commandments. And Samuel was wroth and cried unto Jehovah all night. And Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a monument and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. In his mind, he had knowledge of what God had said, and he thought he had done that. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep? They're making some noise. You were told to utterly destroy everything. What's this noise I hear? If you utterly destroyed everything, why am I hearing something? Verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He knew what God said. He knows the word of God. He knows that he's supposed to utterly destroy. There was no confusion there. There was no question there. Do you know what's in the Bible? We can, you know, list all the 12 apostles and the 10 plagues, and we can name the 66 books of the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with it. We know all of this, but what are we going to do with that? Do we act upon that? Do we obey? I want to encourage you this evening to be someone who hears and has faith and knows and finishes that with obedience. We must know and do the Word of God. Verse 15, I have utterly destroyed that. Then Saul said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what Jehovah hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And there's more of the story that we'll look at in a minute. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. There's a lot of people that are religious. They say, Lord, Lord. They know that there's a God. They know what the Bible says about this and that. But they don't act upon it. It's better to obey. We can't substitute knowledge alone. Well, God will be fine with that. Or faith alone. Or hearing alone. These are substitutes. These are things that are necessary, but we have to build upon those things and go beyond that to hear the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 12, turn with me there. When Jesus was asked about who is his family, and there's a question today about, well, who is a Christian? Who can we say who is a Christian and who's not a Christian? Who's in the family of God and who's not? Well, let Jesus answer that question. Jesus said in Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister. Jesus answers that question. You have to do the will of the Father. Not the will of denominations, not the will of men, not the will of human traditions, the will of my Father, then you are in the family of Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus talks about the matter of authority, he said a man had two sons. Look at this. A man had two sons. Matthew 21. Go back up to verse 28. What think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in thy vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I will go. He knew what his father said. And he went not. Did he know what his father said? Absolutely. Did he believe what his father said? Sure. But he didn't do it. Which of the two did the father's will? They said, the first. So we need to know and do God's word. If you were to ask Saul, can you repeat back to me the instructions, he could have repeated them back. But that's not enough. We have to act upon that. We can repeat back some information in Bible class, and we could repeat back some information in this setting or in that setting. Let's act upon that. Let's obey that. To obey is better than knowing. To obey is better than partial obedience. When you turn back to the story of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you look at verses 14 and 15, had Saul destroyed some of the things? Had Saul destroyed some of the Amalekites? Yes, he had destroyed some of that. He had partially obeyed, but he kept Agag alive, and he kept some of the sheep alive for worship, and we'll talk about that in a minute. He did not fully obey the Lord. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to substitute the partial obedience that I've done for full obedience, and the Lord will be happy with that. Does that work? Let's just simply obey God. Rather than coming up with some substitute, rather than coming up with something else that makes us feel good, let's just simply do what he says. There's no substitute for obedience. What about Lot? Lot's what? Did that work? You turn back to Genesis chapter 19. Look at verse 17. There's two things that they're told to do there with regard to escaping Sodom and Gomorrah. They're told to escape, get out of town, and don't look back. Did Lot's wife do the first thing? Yeah, she escaped. She got out of town. Did she do the second thing? No, she disobeyed. She turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. Well, come on, don't I get credit for partial obedience? Don't I get credit for doing most of this? Saul could have argued that. Well, I destroyed a large portion of the Amalekites. No. This is the woman that Jesus says later, remember Lot's wife. It's a lesson in partial obedience, really. Well, there are some things that God wants me to do, and I'm doing those some things. Now, I haven't done all of that. I understand that. But He's good with the partial obedience. No, He just simply wants us to do all of it. We simply need to realize that it's better to obey. Just do what God says. What about the matter of the Jews? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. They were fond of this, where they would do some things but not other things. And they were very religious. They were God-fearing. They read the law. Look at all these things that we've looked at. They believed in God. They knew the law backwards and forwards. They were scribes and lawyers in the law. They had faith in God, all these things. But they would not obey God. And they would not obey all things. And so Jesus said, you're hypocrites, verse 23, you tithe, that is, you pull out ten things of mint, anise, cumin, but you have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You're over there picking out your little tin leaves, and you're tithing, and that's great, they were supposed to tithe, but you've left undone other things. And Jesus rebuked them for that. To obey all of what God says this evening is better than partial obedience. So what we say is, well, look at what I've already done. Come on, give me credit for what I've already done. The Lord will be happy with that. No, the Lord is happy with obedience. It's better to obey. That's what pleases the Lord. Let's not substitute something else. Let's not substitute something short of that and feel that God will be happy with that. Saul was mistaken, and he's removed from the throne, as we're going to see at the end of the lesson. Because of all of these thoughts, you know, don't I get credit for partially obeying? And don't I get credit for bringing some of the sheep back to sacrifice? We're going to see that in just a moment. Don't I get credit for... No, it's just better to obey. And what a beautiful thing that is when we do that and we're blessed of the Lord. We must obey all things in the New Testament that are for Christians today, not just simply things that we want to pick and choose. And so when Jesus sends the apostles out into the Great Commission and to baptize all nations, he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 that we're to be obedient in all things. Turn with me to James chapter 2 and verse 10. James says that if we keep the law and yet stumble in one point, wow, that's awfully hard, Lord. Well, that's what the Lord said. Then we are a transgressor. You stop and think this evening about all the things that you do keep, all the things that you do obey. And there are a number of those things, and those are good things. But the one thing you don't do, the Lord sees that, and He's going to take that into account. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is become guilty. We're a lawbreaker. Even though there are many things that we do that are right, that one thing. And so Saul had killed a bunch of people and he had destroyed a bunch of people, but that group that he had left, that's the one thing that's going to remove him from the throne. So let's not look at it as, look at all the things that I have done and that I'm going to get credit for. Let's just simply look at completely and fully obeying God, whether it's in becoming a Christian this evening or if we need to come back in some way or to be more faithful in some way, work on something in some way. It's just simply better to obey. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, why did Saul and the people bring these things back? Why did they bring the animals back? What did they want to do with them? Were they going to use them in some evil way or in some ungodly way? No, they were going to come back and sacrifice to God. That's a religious thing. You would think that's a good thing. Why wouldn't the Lord be happy? It's still disobedience. And so there are many people today that are religious and they're doing things in the name of religion. They're good people. They're honest people. law-abiding citizens, and they want to love God and serve God, but they're doing things that are not commanded in Scripture. Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, said, chapter 15, verse 15, the people spared the best of the sheep to sacrifice unto Jehovah. Come on, Lord, you ought to be happy with that. You ought to be satisfied with that. There are many things being done today in the name of religion that do not have Bible authority for it. A person can be very religious and not be obeying God at the very same time. In Acts chapter 17, Paul goes to Athens. He said, I perceive that you're very religious. And yet they were wrong. The end does not justify the means. The end does not justify the means. I'm going to bring these things back to sacrifice unto God. And so God's going to ignore the disobedience because the end is we want to worship God. No, the end and the means have to be pleasing to God. And if you're here this evening, if we're here this evening thinking, well, just general religious things are fine, we learn from this lesson this evening that they're not. They were going to come back and sacrifice to the Lord. That didn't make it right. Turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 3. The Jews were like this a lot. They were very religious, and they were doing things in the name of religion, but they were disobeying God at the same time, and God holds them accountable for their disobedience. You see, some kind of substitute that we come up with does not change the fact that it's disobedience. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1, talking about Jerusalem and the Jews in the days of Zephaniah, woe to her that is rebellious and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. But keep reading. She received not correction. She trusted not in Jehovah. She drew not near to her God. Her princes in the midst of her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. They had prophets. They worshipped in the temple before it fell to the Babylonians. The priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Look, everybody's still going to the sanctuary to worship, verse 3. But verse 2, she obeyed not my voice. You can be religious and not be obeying God. Matthew chapter 15, the Jews of Jesus' day were the same thing. They were religious, but they were teaching the commandments of men rather than obeying the law of God. And so today, I love Jesus, praise God, praise the Lord. And I'm not trying to impugn anybody's motives. I'm sure people that say that are genuine and honest. And we've got hundreds of denominations and all kinds of religions and people loving Jesus and praying God. But even Jesus said, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments. So they came back to do a religious thing, but it was wrong. And so week in and week out, a person can be religious and still not be obeying God. We need to obey God, really, in order to be His religious people that are acceptable to Him. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 19. Well, someone will maybe think, well, okay, how can I distinguish just sort of a general religious tenor and actually being right with God? Well, always turn to the Scripture to answer the question. And the answer is, you can be just generally religious, or you can be in the family of God and be religious and be right with Him through obedience. Here's an example when Israel is at Mount Sinai. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. How do we know if we're truly in God's family? Out of all these religions and all these denominations, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you will be my possession. The same thing in Jeremiah 11:4. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There's just some things that are better. And obedience is better than any other type of thing that we might substitute for it. Obedience is better than substitution. Nadab and Abihu substituted some kind of strange fire instead of simply obeying God. What we have in 1 Samuel 15 is a substitute. I'm going to bring some things back in order to worship God, and that's what he's going to be happy with. That's a substitute. Let me ask you this. Are there some things in your life where you will not accept a substitute? You want the genuine thing. You want the real thing. Are there any things in your life where you've got to have the real thing? You don't want a fake. You don't want something partially close. You want the real thing. I think there are some things in our life that we just want the real thing. God just wants obedience. That's what he wants. He doesn't want some substitute. He doesn't want something that looks like it, that gets close to it. He just wants that. Nadab and Abihu offered up a substitute, a strange fire, and they're struck dead. He just simply wanted the fire that was supposed to be authorized there in the tabernacle. They didn't do that. They're struck dead. Naaman, when he's told to go dip 7 times in the Jordan, what did he want? I don't want that dirty, muddy, ugly Jordan. Aren't the rivers of the Abana and Pharpar up in Damascus, aren't they far better? Remember what he said about, can't we substitute something else? No, you got to use the Jordan. This is an attempt just to substitute, and that'll work with God, and this will be fine. We learned this evening that there's nothing better than obedience. I did it my way. This is what I want. This is what I feel God will be happy with. Saul learned. He's removed from the throne. And he learned that God does not want a substitute. Let's keep reading. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, and was not made the head of the tribes of Israel, Jehovah anointed thee king over Israel. Saul was the first king of Israel. And Jehovah sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of Jehovah, but you did fly upon the spoil, and you did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah. And there are a lot of people today that would, when you point out to them that they're not following the Word of God, their response is, oh yeah, I am following the Word of God. No, no, you're not. I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah and have gone the way which Jehovah sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil. We'll get to that in just a moment. The sheep and the oxen, the chief of the devoted things to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God. And Samuel said, hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? In other words, is God happy with your substitute? It's a rhetorical question. No, he's not. Behold, to obey is better than what you're wanting to do. And what he was wanting to do in and of itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with sacrificing unto the Lord. But in the context of this, it's better to obey. For rebellion, now we're getting to the heart of the matter. When you look out on the religious world today and you talk with folks about their substitutes, they're pretty fine with that. How does God view that, verse 23? Rebellion. That's a little bit different picture than what you see today in the religious world. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the idolatry and teraphim. In other words, he was rebellious and stubborn. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. We just simply need to obey. When we know what we need to do to become a Christian and to stay faithful and those types of things, we just simply need to do that. We don't need to add to or take from the word of God. This is in Deuteronomy. This is in Proverbs. It's in the New Testament closes with this very point. The very last thing in the New Testament is don't add to or take from the Word of God. Now, God told me to utterly destroy the Amalekites. I'm going to modify that a little bit. See, I'm going to change that. Just obey. That's what God wants. That's what pleases God. And so when we're tempted to substitute or to change in some way, let's remember this story. It's just simply better to obey. It's better than rebellion. He rebelled, is what he did, when he did not fully obey the word of God. Israel rebelled. when they were told not to go up into Canaan land after the matter of the 10 spies, God said, don't go up. And they went up anyway. It said that they presumptuously went up and they rebelled and they were punished. Moses rebelled when he struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock. Was Moses a good fellow? Absolutely. Great leader in many ways, great qualities in many ways, but this one time he's described as rebelling because he did not obey what God said. God said, speak to the rock, and he struck it. And he, I'm sure, had his reasons. He substituted striking for speaking. Did Moses believe in God? He had faith. He heard all those things that we talked about earlier. He was a religious person. But that one time, he's going to substitute what he wants, his rebellion. So even the best of us can find ourselves in that situation. And we need to be mindful of that. I don't have to do what God says, is basically what that boils down to. Whether it's the plan of salvation or something else. And we certainly don't want that attitude this evening. We don't want to be rebellious. We don't want to be stubborn. Well, how do we solve that? We just simply trust and obey. And we do what God says. Obey and not rebel. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Paul talks about himself. You look at Saul of Tarsus before he was converted. He was kicking against Christ. He was going against him. He describes himself with others as being a rebel. But he changed and he humbled himself and he obeyed the gospel. Let's not be someone this evening that stands against what God wants us to do, but simply conform and give in, and be humble, and be obedient. Paul says in Titus 2 and verse 3, for we, notice how he includes himself. He doesn't say you guys. We, he includes himself. We also were foolish, disobedient. Before Saul of Tarsus obeyed the gospel, what was he doing? He was going against Christ, locking up Christians and so forth. We were disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us. We were once that way, but they changed, didn't they? We need to obey and not rebel. And we need to obey. It's better to obey than simply to please others and listen to others. What did Saul say? The people spared the best of the flock. I listened to the people. That's what they wanted. And isn't that what happens today? That many people will act with reference to God because of what friends and family want them to do, or what they feel like they should do to please friends and family. Many will act in order to please friends and family rather than obey God. The people. Twice in the story that comes up. The people. Let's keep reading 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's finish the rest of the story and then the lesson will be yours. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah. And the words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Somewhere along the way in that battle, some of the people came up to him and said, we want to keep some of this flock, and he listened to them. We've got to listen to God rather than those around us. No matter how close they may be to us, we've got to do God's will. Verse 25, now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship Jehovah. And Samuel said, Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah. Notice that partial obedience is rejection. Hearing only is rejection. Faith only is rejection. Substitution is rejection. Bringing stuff back for religious purposes is still rejection. That's a hard statement. You have rejected the word of God, and Jehovah hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon him, his skirt and his robe, and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, Jehovah hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. It's just simply better to obey. He hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship Jehovah thy God. And so Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped Jehovah. Then said Samuel, bring me here Agag, king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him cheerfully. Yeah, I guess so. he got spared the first time, I'd be happy too. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Well, no, not when you're in the face of someone like Samuel who obeys God. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Jehovah in Gilgal. What did Samuel do? He finished off what Saul should have done. There's no partial obedience with Samuel. There's no substitution with Samuel. There's no hearing only and faith only and those types of things with Samuel. It's all about complete obedience. I'm thinking of Galatians 5, verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you? Paul said. Those Galatian brethren had allowed false Judaizing teachers to come in. They started listening to them. They started doing things that pleased them. And they ended up going down the road after them. And Paul said, if you don't get back, you're going to be falling away from Christ. Galatians 5, verse 4. Severed from Christ. I have friends and family that believe. I have friends and family that say this about the Bible. And I was raised this way and I was taught that way. Well, we're listening to everybody but God. We simply need to do what God says. Sometimes friends and family, like Saul was surrounded by individuals, friends and family are not telling us what God wants. They're telling us what they want or what they've heard or what they've felt. But we simply need to go by what the Bible says. We must obey God rather than men. So Paul says in Galatians 1 and verse 10 that I'm about pleasing God, not about pleasing men. It's just simply better to obey. Well, the lesson is yours. Anything short of obedience is rebellion and stubbornness. Maybe you've heard the plan of salvation. I want you to act upon it this evening. You know what you need to do to make your life right with God. Maybe as a Christian, there is something in our life that is amiss, some sin that needs to be corrected, some attitude adjustment, some character adjustment, some sin that needs to be repented of. We know what the Bible says. Let's just act upon that this evening before it's everlasting too late. Anything short, anything of a substitution, anything else that we might offer is not what God wants. It's just simply better to obey. God doesn't accept anything short of obedience. And we learn that from Saul. And so the encouragement this evening is to fully obey His Word. If we don't, Jesus said that the Lord's going to come with vengeance and flaming fire, rendering vengeance upon them who obey not the gospel. Do it this evening. Don't wait. We're not promised of a tomorrow. Jesus said that He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, not to all who have faith only. Not to all who hear only or know what the Bible says but don't do it, or just religious in general or substitute something else, but all who obey Him. And I know you want that this evening. We want to encourage that in your life, and if I can assist you, if we can work toward that end, that's what this lesson is about. It's just better to obey. And when we know that we need to obey, and then the devil comes in and says, well, wait a minute, you can do something else. Don't listen to that. It's just better to obey. And that's when we're blessed. And that's when the Lord will reward us. If we can encourage you along those lines, if we can encourage you to obey this evening, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Someday you'll stand at the bar.